all our other friends have deserted us. Amen? Sometimes we don't realize just what a light he is until we've been in darkness so long we forgot what the light is all about, and then Jesus shows up. Sometimes we're in the midst of the storms and we don't know what we're going to do. And it seems that no one can help us. And then Jesus shows up. And you realize that what you needed, you had all along. Amen? What you needed was always there. And we're thankful for that this morning. Thankful for everyone that's come out. Pray for those that are still away. And I know my son-in-law, he's out trying to get his daughter situated back down in college and stuff this morning. Pray for Billy and pray for Becky and just pray for the kids. Pray for all our young people. They started back school last week. I think it's kind of crazy. Start them that early just so people can make their points and make their statement. I don't know. That's what it gets down to. But it's a bit foolish to cut summer short on our kids. And, you know, even the Lord's got a way. Amen. He's got himself apart for a time to unwind. And trust me, our kids need to unwind. But some of them have unwound so much they need to get back. We understand that. But pray for the kids. Pray for our kids. They've been unleashed back into one of the most ungodly places in America. I know some folks don't understand that, but it is some of the greatest battles our children face are in the classroom and in the public school system. I'd be much in prayer for them as they go back that way. And pray that God would just watch over and keep them. We ask you to pray for the family of Marcia Burnett, passed away last Saturday night. She died, and we did her funeral Wednesday. And she was a teacher for 41 years in the Six County Public School System and taught special education for several years. Just remember those that she's left behind. She just raised many kids that weren't hers, and you know, just left a great testimony behind, and loving children and working with children and being there for kids and being there for people. And just remember those that she left behind. I had asked some of them to come. They told me they were going to be here today, but I don't see any of them. But pray for them and just pray that God would, through the message that was preached, we had the three folks that raised their hands up that knew they wasn't saved and knew they wanted to know the God that brings comfort to our heart, the God that sustains us, and the God that walks with us and as a Savior, but none that I know of made that profession, but at least they acknowledged that need and acknowledged that their hearts weren't where they need to be. And just pray for them, and just thank everyone that's here this morning, and pray for those that still are away, and just pray that God would just fill our church back up and bring us back up to our normal levels, and we get back to where we're going, and we're just thankful that we're able to be here this morning. Turn in your Bibles with us in the Jeremiah chapter number 42. Jeremiah 42. How many are up to date on your Bible reading? Amen. Where would your Bible reading be today? Amen. 42 to 45, I think it is today. You're right here. If you haven't read it, you'll get to go through a part of it this morning. You can leave church this morning and say, well, I got a chapter or so taken care of maybe, but I just let God's Word speak to your heart, and we encourage you to read through the Word of God. God always has something to show you. He has a Word for you, and you don't know just where it might be found in the Bible as you read through, but something that will stir your heart, something that's there that's meant for you, something that you maybe read 100 times, but when you read it this time, God knows that you needed it. And it just pops right out to you, and it sticks strong to you. We'd ask you and invite you to stand this morning as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. We're going to begin reading in Jeremiah 42 and verse number 1. It says, "Then all the captains of the forces and Johanan, the son of Kareah, and Jezaniah, the sons of Hosea, and all the people from the least even unto the greatest came near, and said unto Jeremiah the prophet, Let, we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto thy God, even for all this remnant, for we are left but a few of many, and as thine eyes do behold us. that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk and the thing that we may do. Then Jeremiah the prophet saith unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words, and it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back from you. Then said they to Jeremiah, the Lord be true, a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not even according to all the things for the which the Lord thy God shall send thee unto us, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. Now jump into chapter number 43 in verse number 1. It says, and it came to pass that when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people, all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words, then spake Azariah the son of Hoshea, and Johanan the son of Kareah, and all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. But Baruch the son of Neriah setteth thee on against us for to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they might put us to death and carry us away captives into Babylon. Bow with us as we pray. Our Father God, this morning, we just ask you to allow your word to settle on our hearts and on our minds. We ask you this morning, God, to help us to be obedient hearers of thy word. And God, that we would allow it to probe into the deepest parts of our hearts. And we'll submit ourselves and surrender ourselves to thy precious will for what you might have in store for our lives today. Your word does not return void. It accomplishes all that you send it forth to do. Your word, Father, this morning are the words of truth. They're the words of life. And God, we just ask you this morning, as we look unto it, to help us, God, to heed every word that you speak to our hearts and to obey you in all that we do. And we'll praise you for what you've done and what you're going to do. Because we ask it this morning in Jesus' name, we say amen. You may be seated. For those unfamiliar with the story of Jeremiah, many times we know that he's a prophet, and we know that he did something big in the Bible, and that's about as much your knowledge of Jeremiah as you have. But Jeremiah is considered one of the major prophets, and that's just because the things that they have, the writings they have left in store from him, were so much more than some of the other prophets. He's no more important than what we call the minor prophets, but his prophecies carried on for such a great long period of time, and over the reign of a couple of different kings, and he cried out the warning unto God's people to submit themselves unto God and to surrender their lives unto God, and God would bless them and God would be with them. And then he continued to preach the message that God gave him, that you've not surrendered yourself, and my wrath is going to come upon you. Submit yourself unto the hands of the Chaldeans, and I will be with you, and I will bring you back, and pour my wrath out upon you, but I will bring you back, and I will restore you, and I will put you back to where you was. And Jeremiah preached faithfully unto the people. He preached faithfully unto Judah and unto Jerusalem and unto the kings, and the people would hear the words of Jeremiah, and sometimes they would get stirred and they would get fearful because of the words of Jeremiah. And then they would go back to doing the same old things that they had done before. And then we're reminded of the time that God told Jeremiah to write his words down, the prophecies that he'd given, and write them down and deliver them unto Baruch, that Baruch might take them unto the king. And the king just took the words as they were read and cut them with his penknife and throw them upon the fire, because the word of God seemed so trifling and so trivial unto him. Doesn't it sound a lot like America today? The word of God is prevalent. The word of God is available to all of us, and we have the privilege of picking it up, and we have the privilege of knowing the mind of God because he's spoken his word, and he's given us something that we can know what God wants us to do. And we've been given the instructions of God because he's told us the things that will keep us in the place where he wants us to be, doing the things that he wants us to do. But we just like Jerusalem, we just like Judah, turn a deaf ear unto the word of God. Bibles all over America today find their way into trash cans, into storage bins, into waste facilities somewhere, because his word is unwanted and undesired. And sure and true to his word, God sent Nebuchadnezzar, and God sent the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, to take Judah and Jerusalem into captivity. After about a 2.5 year siege, and all the time Jeremiah preaching, all the time Jeremiah telling them that if they would submit themselves unto the king of Babylon, that God would look well to them. Because God had put that man there at that time. God had put that man there at that place for this specific reason. And they wouldn't heed. Jerusalem fell. And all the people in Jerusalem who had any knowledge or any abilities or had anything goodly about them were carried away. Those that weren't killed and weren't slaughtered in the initial onslaught were carried away captive onto Babylon. And they left the poor of the poor in the land. And they left over them a governor by the name of Gedaliah. And certain of the people, certain of the rabble-rousers, they didn't want to accept that, and they murdered Gedaliah. And then they ran away and hid. And then there was a remnant that was left behind, and they realized that they were in dire straits. The governor, which the king of Babylon had left in Judah, had been murdered in cold blood. The authority that the king of Babylon had left there had been killed, and now we need to do something. The men who have killed him have run, and they've gone into hiding. And now, what are we going to do? And now, how are we are going to survive? Let me tell you something. God sent his son into the world, and they killed and crucified his son. And men have been wondering what they're going to do ever since. And the king one day is going to pour his wrath out because his son has been killed. His authority has been killed. His authority has been questioned, and they crucified him. And one day, king of all kings and the Lord of all lords is going to exact his vengeance upon those who done such. And he said, listen, there's a remnant left behind. We was teaching in Sunday school class this morning. There's some strangers and pilgrims here. How many of you are a stranger in this world? Amen. How many realize and know you're just passing through? Amen. We're just visitors here. And Sister Sherry told this morning and brought out a great thought how we see visitors and foreigners when they come and they stay in groups. They can't speak the language. They don't know the culture. But they come and they kind of stay in a group because they feel good when they're in that group. You understand what I'm saying? You ever been to someplace, a big park or someplace or a big, maybe down in Washington, D.C., you see a lot of foreign visitors. And you see that they tend to stay in groups because they understand one another, because they relate to one another. And friends, we're strangers and pilgrims here below, but we're not alone. Praise God, I'm thankful for the church today. Amen. I'm thankful for my brothers and sisters in Christ that are here, and they understand this old peculiar boy as he's walking through this lowland of sin and sorrow as a stranger and a pilgrim. I realize where I'm at. But the king knows that rebellion has taken place. The king knows that rejection has taken place. One day, a man of God told me the word of God, and I realized what my need was. I realized where safety could be found. I realized that I had to submit myself unto him in this world, and he would allow me to pass through this world, even though a stranger and a pilgrim, even though peculiar in every aspect of my life as I walk with him and bring me through. That's where they are right now in chapter 42 of our text this morning. They're worried that the king is going to come and extract vengeance upon him for the death of his governor. And they told Jeremiah, they said, go and beseech thy God. Go and cry unto thy Lord and ask him what we should do. And no matter what he says we should do, that's what we're going to do. And you know, that's the thing that the world says today. Well, we just want to live and be happy. And the Lord bless us and the Lord watch over us. And we come to church and we say, preacher, I preach unto us the word of God. Preacher, tell us what the blessed old book says, and we're going to do it. We're here this morning because we want to hear what the word of God has to say. And I'm going to preach this thought to you this morning. What you going to do? Amen. What you going to do? In verse number 6, they said, whatever God says, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we're going to do it. Amen. How many of you here this morning have come and you're willing to say, whatever thus saith the word of God this morning, that's what I'm going to do. Amen. Amen. What you going to do with the word this morning? What you going to do with what God tells you this morning? What you going to do? They say, whatever he says, that we're going to do. Are you really? Are you really? We have drunks and drug addicts. We have people living immoral lifestyles and everything else dragging in here. And they say, well, we come to church. We need the Lord's help. And we want God to help us. And they leave out of here the same way they come because they don't want to heed the word of God. What you going to do this morning? Amen. What you going to do when God begins to direct your path? Whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us. When we obey the voice of the Lord our God, we're going to obey God. We're going to listen to him. We know it'll be well with us if we listen to what he says when we obey. But are you? Amen. Well, what you going to do? He said that back in chapter 16, he told the prophet Jeremiah, he said, tell these people, he said, seek ye out the old paths. Amen. And they said, we will not. What you going to do? Amen. Well, what you going to do when he tells you to separate yourself and to move away from everything that you're comfortable with? Amen. Remember what he told Abram. He said, I get you out from your country, your kindred, from the land of your nativity, the place where you was born. He said, separate from everything that you know. What you going to do? Amen. You want to give up your friends that are dragging you down the wrong path? You're going to give up the friends that are going to keep you in the land of Ur and keep you worshiping the false gods that your relatives and that those acquaintances that you knew before are going to do. What you going to do when God says separate from that? Amen. Now, I'm not preaching to people that's not here this morning. Amen. I'm preaching to you. Amen. What you going to do? You're going to separate from those things that are keeping you in bondage spiritually. Those things that are keeping you worshiping the false gods. The Bible said that when God told Abraham to move, he moved by faith. What you going to do? Amen. What you going to do when God tells you to forget everything that you got and forsake it all and go someplace where you don't want to go to tell somebody about a God that you're scared to tell them about? Amen. What you going to do when God tells you to go to Nineveh? What you going to do, young people? What you going to do when God tells you to tell somebody in school about the God that you heard about in church, the God that you heard about in Sunday school, the God that brought salvation to your soul? What you going to do? Amen. What you going to do, mom and dad? What you going to do When you got to take a stand that's unpopular with the rest of the world, and you got to draw your kids out of things that are unpopular with the rest of the world, and you got to tell them, because I stand for Jesus, and everybody looks at you and says you're crazy, what you going to do? Amen. Amen. What you going to do? God says, seek ye out the old paths. They said, we will not. We will not. They said, Jeremiah, go pray unto your God. They went to the man of God. Hey, you know how many people come? Said, preacher, my life's a mess. I got into this and I got into that. And this is happening and that's happening. Preacher, tell me, well, what should I do? I said, you need to live for the Lord. You need to let go of these things. And you need to let Jesus have control. And you know what they do? They go right on back to the same old thing they was doing. What you going to do? Hey, amen. What you going to do when God's word says thou shalt not? We go there anyway. What you going to do when you find yourself back in the muck and the mire after the man of God told you to let it go? What you going to do? Huh? They said, look, we're coming to church. Jeremiah, we're coming to church. We want you to tell us what thus saith the word of God. And what God says, that's what we're going to do. You're here this morning. Now what you going to do? What you going to do? Amen. You going to go on back to the same old thing that you've been doing? Back to the same old routine of playing church, playing Christian? To the same old bit of unfaithfulness that has been the epitome of your lives? I get people come here, oh, pastor, I want to dedicate my child. And none of me, I take that serious. Some people, when they dedicate a child in church, they bring them up and give them a little certificate and say, here, you dedicated your child. I believe when you dedicate somebody, it's something serious, and it takes more than a little bit of piece of paper, and I preach a charge to them. Amen. As a parent. Amen. You know how many of those people that have brought their kids in here and said, pastor, I want to dedicate my child unto God. I want you to do this. I said, are you sure you want to do it? This ain't no light thing. Oh, yeah, pastor, I want to do it. Where are they at today? What you going to do? They don't care. They want a form and a fashion. They want to appease their own selves, and they could care less about what God says. What you going to do? Hey, man, you're going back to the same old, that's where they're at. Some of them are out in vacation land and this land, Ocean City, out camping. They're everywhere else, and they don't have their child in the house of God. And their child grows up and goes hog wild and pig crazy in the world of sin, and they wonder why. What you going to do? You want to know the right way. Amen. You want to know God's way. Until God's way don't kind of meet with your way. And it don't satisfy what you want. And you're back on down the path of running from God. Hiding from Him. Look at what it said. Verse number Now 10. He said, if you will abide in this land, then I will build you and not pull you down. I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I repent me of the evil that I have done unto you. Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom ye are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from this land. And I will show mercies unto you, that he may have mercies upon you and cause you to return to your own land. Oh, you come and you want to know how to have a blessed life. You come into the house of God and you say, preacher, tell us about the goodness of God. Tell us about the mercies of God. Tell us about the joys of God. Tell us about living under God. And the man of God preaches to you and tells you, thus saith the Lord, stay away from sin. Stay out of the hog pen. Amen. Don't be like everybody else. Be something different. Be peculiar in this world. And you go right back to doing the same old thing. God says, come out from among them. Come out from among them. And be you separate, thus saith the Lord. Amen. Amen. Come out and be different. Look different. Act different. Sing different. Talk different. Be different. Wherever you go. Amen. God says, if ye, you know, God's blessings come with conditions. Right. Amen. Everybody thinks they're going to heaven for some reason in this world. They think they can go out here and live however they want to live and do whatever they want to do, and they're going to die and go to heaven. Let me tell you something. The blessings of God, the salvation of the Lord is conditional. Amen. Walking and talking and living with Jesus in a right relationship is conditional. Right. Amen. You say, well, preacher, God so loved the world. Yes, he did. But he also said that whosoever, amen, God loves sinners. He sent his son to die for them. But he said it still is only for whosoever. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And he said, I will give unto them eternal life. Because why? Not just because they heard my voice. Not just because they heard the preacher preach about God's blessing and God's salvation. But because they trusted him. And they followed. He said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Amen. Amen. You want God's blessing on your life. You want God to touch your life, and you want God to help you in the situation that you're in. There's a little secret to it. It's called if. If. If what? If you'll do what he says. Amen. If you do what he says, you'll get saved. Amen. If you do what he says, you'll be able to face the storms of life that are coming your way. If you do what he says, you'll find out that you're blessed beyond measure. If you do what you said, you can have nothing and feel blessed anyway. If you do what he says, you can be just like the old Apostle Paul. He's sitting in prison. He's writing to the Philippian church. He says, man, he said, I've known what it is to want. I know how it is not to have, but I've never been in a place where I wasn't content because I had him, I had all I needed. If, amen, if you walk with him down at the prison after they done laid the lashes on you and fastened your feet in the stocks, Brother Joe, amen, you still feel blessed anyway. Amen. And you sing praises, psalms, and hymns, and pray unto him. Amen. If you're in the storm of your life, you're in the storm of the century, you stand and you look and you say, look, the Lord's whom I am stood with me this night, and he told me there'd be no loss of the ship, there'd be no loss of the life, only the ship only and the contents. If, praise God, you walk with him. Amen. He'll be there with you. Hey, man. If in the midst of your sickness, in the midst of that doctor's report, in the midst of the scary times in your life, you surrender yourself to Him, the great physician, let you know that all is well. Amen. We all try to deal with this temple of clay that we live in, but I'm not so concerned about it because I have a promise in His Word in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 that says to be absent from the body. Amen. Is to be present with the Lord. Now the Jehovah's Witnesses and everybody else, I can deny that all they want to. Praise God. I'm not going to let them steal my joy and steal my hope and steal my confidence in knowing that in Him I have hope. The Apostle Paul said, if in this life only I have hope of Jesus Christ, I were of all men most miserable. But praise God. He said, let me tell you something. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, He said, we all shall be changed. Amen. If we've trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, amen, we can look to eternity and not fear what eternity has to bring. Amen. I don't fear hell that somebody says doesn't exist. Jesus preached more about hell, spoke more about hell than He ever did about heaven. And they say it don't exist. I don't worry about the devil having dominion over me. I don't worry about having to hear those words, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I don't worry about those things because one day I realize that I was whosoever. And if I would call upon the name of the Lord, I shall be saved. Amen. And I was. And now, all death is to me. I done told you all. Anybody ever tells you at the cemetery, if y'all get to go to my grave, I want a big fellow, like Eric Gus, you're a big fellow. Somebody looks at you and tells you that that's my final resting place, you smack them right in the mouth and ask Jesus to forgive you and tell them that's a lie. I'm not even there. I'm in the glory world already. Amen. 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 That old casket that they lay you in there somewhere, it's just a hope chest, amen, for the time that body is raised incorruptible. Hallelujah, praise God, because one day I made Him the if in my life, amen, and He was, Stephen King wrote that movie, the horror movie about It. Wasn't that about a clown? Not the one about the clown? That's why everybody's afraid of clowns today, I don't know, you know, but he made that movie, It. All right, well, you know, there might be an it in your life that you're scared of, amen? But let me tell you something. If you've made Jesus your Savior, there's nothing in this world and there's nothing in the world to come that you need to fear, amen? I tell you what, He's the greatest if that the world has ever known. He's the greatest gift that the world has ever known. He's the greatest treasure that the world has ever known. And then look at what He said. If. I don't need to go any more than that. If, let me ask you this, God's promised blessings upon your life, if, what you going to do? You going to take God at His word? You going to take God at His word before you leave here this morning? You going to take God at His word for whatever it is that's going on in your life? You going to take God at His word that He will meet every need that you have? And He said He'll even make your enemies to look at you and have favor upon you. If, what you going to do? What you going to do? But look at what He says in verses 13 to 18. He says, but if you say, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, say no, but we will go into the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, hear, or nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor nor have hunger of bread, and there will we dwell. And now therefore hear the word of the Lord, ye remnant of Judah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if ye wholly set yourselves to enter into Egypt, and to go and to sojourn there, then it shall come to pass that the sword which ye feared shall overtake you there. Amen. You're not going to escape it. Overtake you there in the land of Egypt. And the famine whereof you were afraid shall follow close after you there in Egypt. And there you shall die. So shall it be with all the men that set their faces to go into Egypt to sojourn there. They shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, and none of them shall remain or escape of the evil that I will bring upon them. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as mine anger and my fury have been poured forth upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so shall my fury be poured forth upon you when you shall enter into Egypt, and you shall be an exhortation and an astonishment and a curse and a reproach, and ye shall see this place no more. God said that Lazarus died. Well, Lazarus, the beggar, died and was carried into Abraham's bosom. God was a big if in his life. God was with him even as he laid there by the gates. And he cried out for crumbs to eat. You say, well, preacher, that don't sound like the blessings that I'm looking to. God never promised us wealth and treasures in this world.
Amen.
But he promised us contentment and peace of mind in whatsoever state. He never said that we wouldn't be touched by heartache and by pain. We wouldn't know death and we wouldn't know sickness. And we wouldn't. But he said he would be there with us. He said his grace would always be sufficient. But he said, those that rejected him. And in parable after parable after parable, the Savior taught of those who rejected the King. Those who refused to submit and surrender themselves unto him. And how their feet and their hands were bound and they were cast out in the outer darkness, where the worm dieth not, where the fire is never quenched, where they suffer through all of eternity. And into this place, the rich man at whose gate Lazarus laid found himself. Into a place like that will all who reject the Lord Jesus Christ and reject his word, reject his promises, reject the hope that he's given unto all of humanity, find themselves one day. For the Bible says over in Revelation chapter 21, it says, for the books were opened and all whose name was not found written in the Lamb's book of life were cast into the lake of fire. God said, look, he said, I'm offering you deliverance. I'm telling you that you can live in this land and know the blessings of the peace that passes understanding upon your life. But it's conditional. It takes obedience. It's conditional. You have to follow through with what I say. But he says, if you don't want to do that, and if you want to go back into Egypt, what you going to do this morning? What you going to do this morning? If you don't want to follow my word, if you don't want to find blessings my way, if you want to go back into Egypt, He said, the very things that you're seeking in Egypt, you're going to find can't satisfy in the day of judgment. Folks, you come in this morning. My brother told me he needed something from the Lord this morning. Here it is. It's plain and simple. What you going to do? What you going to do? God's told you how to find blessing. God's told you how to find peace. God's told you how to meet the need that you have in your life. And he's told you the consequences of not. What you going to do? Say, well, I just go on about things the way that I was. Nobody knows the difference. Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. Jeremiah said, God told me to just give this to you too. Because you've already devised in your heart. You already knew before you asked. That all you wanted God to do was tell you it was all right to go down into Egypt. And God says not to go there. You know how you kids, you know, they come to you and they ask something. And you know what it is? They're asking before they ever come. You know, they just want you to give your approval or give in to them. But and they're just going through, or they've already done it. And they're just asking for your blessing upon what they've already done. Parents, you know what I'm talking about. Kids, you know what I'm talking about because you've done it. Amen. You've already done it. You already have it in your mind. And you try to squeeze it in there and make it seem like it's just so innocent. God said, look, I know your hearts already. You already devised in your hearts. You've already made your decision. You've already made your choice. And you just come and you went through the motions. But friends, it doesn't have to be that way. You can submit and surrender yourself unto thus saith the word of God and find blessings for your life. In verse 20 it says, for you dissembled in your hearts when you sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, pray for us unto the Lord our God. And according unto all that the Lord our God shall say, so declare unto us and we will do it. And now have I this day declared it to you. But you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, nor anything for the which he hath sent me unto you. Now therefore know certainly that ye shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence in the place whither you desire to go and to sojourn. Let me tell you something, folks. God's tired of people playing games. God is tired of people going through the motions. God is tired of folks coming to church on Sunday morning and sitting in the pew. And if the preacher don't puff you up and pump you up and tell you what you want to hear, you get all bulled up and you go back out the door and you go back on to doing the same old things that you want to do. God says, be assured, no matter where you choose to go, if you choose to go other than where I tell you to be, you choose to do it different than what I tell you it needs to be done, you will be destroyed. God knew your heart when you come in here this morning. God knows the intention of your heart. And you can come in here and you can make all kinds of pretenses and go back out of here the same way you come and walk in destruction, not knowing the day, not knowing the time, not knowing the moment, but knowing for an assurance that it's going to happen, because thus saith the word of God. What you going to do this morning? What you going to do? Take God at his word. Let God direct your paths. Let God have your way. You know, Proverbs says there's six things that God hates, and yea, seven are an abomination. It says, these six things that God hath, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations. Somebody here this morning is playing a game with God. Somebody here this morning is acting like everything's all right, and it's not. Somebody here this morning thinks they got God fooled, but you don't. But you don't. Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5 sold a portion of land. And they come and gave money to Peter and said, yeah, we sold the land for this much money, and here it is. But they lied. They'd kept back part of it. There wasn't no sin in keeping back part of it. The sin was that they tried to fool everybody into thinking that they had given it all. And Peter says, why did you conceive in your heart to do this thing? Why did you think that you're going to fool God? You're not going to fool God. He said, as a matter of fact, you're going to die. Ananias died. And Sapphira come, and Peter said, Sapphira, did you sell this piece of property for this much money? She said, oh, yeah, yeah. And we gave it all to the church. We want everybody to know how much we love the Lord and we love Jesus. He said, you're a liar. And the very feet of the men that carried your husband out to bury them are at the door. And she died. Folks, you might fool everybody. You might fool the preacher. You might fool your parents. You might fool your children. You might fool everybody around about you, but you'll never fool God. Amen. And God, I just preach the message that God gives me. Amen. I don't know who's going to be here. Amen. I don't know who's going to hear the message, but God knows. And God knows your heart. Brother Jim, Sister Mary, get a song of invitation.